Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. An environmental engineer by profession, Dinkar Pujara has written three political thrillers in his language, Jewtery, an Indian language spoken by about 50 million. His debut novel in English is based on his first novel, 108, Earthly Desires of a Dark-Hearted Man, which dealt with a border crisis between India and Pakistan in the spring of 1990 that almost brought the world to its first nuclear war, an interpretation of actual historical events. The events involved international leaders like Russian President Mikhail Gorbachev, U.S. President George H.W. Bush, and the leaders of India and Pakistan, along with spy agencies from five countries. There are comic elements as well as serious drama in this behind-the-scenes look at international intrigue. Dinkar, author of 108, Earthly Desires of a Dark-Hearted Man, but winner, by the way, of the prestigious Plume Award for Literary Excellence, is our guest on This Week in America. Dinkar, welcome to the program, sir. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What is the native language? I think I butchered that when I was talking about the native language where this this first appeared. What is the Indian language that this was written in?
Gujarati, where it's spoken by people in state of Gujarat in India. This is also the state where Mahatma Gandhi was born, and the current prime minister is also a Gujarati. And Indira Gandhi, the third prime minister, also was married to a person in Gujarat. So people in this country, for instance, are familiar with these Gujaratis. You know, when you see them, you are driving small hotel motels like 25 units, 30 units. They own them. 80% of motels are owned by them. And then you run into some Dunkin' Donuts. More than 80% are owned by them. But there are business entrepreneurs.
Well, I wanted to get that right, and I didn't think I did. So thank you for correcting that, and thank you for giving some information. We've learned something, and the program is just getting started. So I thank you for that. I love the story you tell in 108 Earthly Desires of a Dark-Hearted Man, an award-winning book that we're talking about on the program today. What inspired you to write this historical novel? Where did this idea come from?
Okay, I have been reading the New Yorker magazine, you know, for over 30 years, 40 years actually. And in 1994, there was an article written by the Pulitzer Prize-winning investigating reporter, Mr. Seymour Hersh. He wrote an article about border crisis between India and Pakistan in spring of 1994. It appeared in New Yorker in April of 1994. I read it and I made a decision that I'm going to do something about it. So the following year, in 1995, I wrote my first book in Gujarati, covering these incidents and what followed since then geopolitically in Southeast Asia. So that was the inspiration I got. And everything Mr. Hersh wrote, you know, is in National Archive. And I did the research, and everything was true, meaning that all the names he had used from President Bush, the senior national security advisor, Robert Gates, who actually was sent to Pakistan by Mr. Bush. You know, Robert Gates served under five presidents.
You know, that's amazing. Yes, I think what last was Secretary of Defense in the Obama administration.
Yes.
So here's someone.
Yes. He started with President Carter, you know, during the Iran hostage crisis. So he served under five presidents, and he's a very respectable politician.
He certainly navigated a number of different politicians and styles, and did so much in bringing understanding to the world. Such a remarkable undertaking in writing this book. The border crisis happened in 1990. In your book, what were the origins? Where did this start? What was the genesis?
Well, I will give you and your audience a brief history that India was granted freedom by Britain in 1947. At that time, India, which was a majority Hindu population country, also had a sizable Muslim minority. So the Muslim leaders at that time said that we don't want to be in India or part of India. We want our own country. And against Mr. Gandhi's wishes, there was a partition of the country. So the Northwest India became West Pakistan, and the Muslims who were in majority in east side of the country became East Pakistan, and India was in between. However, there was a portion known as Kashmir. It was in dispute because both countries claimed that it should be with them. And the conflict, if you can believe it, is still going on after 60 years.
Wow.
So the United Nations got involved and they established LOC, which is called line of control, like drawing a line in the sand between the two countries. And the people on both sides of the line are still guarding the border. And in last 60 years, there were three wars between the countries. One in 1948, same issue, Kashmir, which India won. Then there was a second war in 1965 that was also won by India. And the third war in 1971, which again India won, but this time they decided to take care of it once and for all. So East Pakistan was given freedom by force. India helped them and it became Bangladesh, today's Bangladesh. So the leaders and rulers of Pakistan, most of them were dictators anyway, could not digest it. So they had terrorist organizations trying to control the Pakistan controlled Kashmir. However, they always, almost regularly, sometimes daily, crossed the line of control and started having started killing innocent Kashmiri citizens. So in 1990, finally, India said that enough is enough. So India gave 96-hour ultimatum to Pakistan to dismantle all those terrorist camps and put them in prison or take the camps away. And it was serious because the world, Britain, France, Germany, America, Russia, all of them were kind of used to these two countries fighting with each other. However, it was different this time because there was a rumor going on that Pakistan had already developed nuclear weapons. Now, at that time, there was a so-called club of six countries which possessed nuclear bombs.
Yes.
America, China, Russia, France, and Britain, and the last member was India. But Pakistan was not included, even though there were reports by CIA and Mossad and that they were on the verge of having developed the bomb, or they already had it. So this ultimatum was taken very seriously by President Bush the senior, who knew that Pakistan had something, because what had happened is that there was a Senator Pressler from South Dakota who had introduced and passed a bill in Congress that the administration had to certify to Congress every year that the help given to Pakistan, that will not be used for any purpose of developing nuclear weapons. And from Reagan to Bush, every year the certificate was given. The certificate was falsified by the administrations. And that's how, with American money and German technology, Pakistan was able to develop a nuclear program.
You know, that's
so
a fascinating.
Bush, yes, President Bush knew that. Almost all the leaders in the world had a feeling, but nobody was ready to accept it, because if they did that, then the Republican administrations, Mr. Reagan's and Mr. Bush, would be blamed by Democrats that what have you created? So what Bush did was he got President Gorbachev involved that this should be resolved very quickly before it escalates. So Mr. Bush sent Robert Gates and a team of spies and sent a letter to both leaders, President Khan of Pakistan and Prime Minister Singh of India. Mr. Singh was a caretaker Prime Minister of India. You know, caretaker meaning waiting for the next election, where Rajiv Gandhi was going to run, you know, as a candidate. Anyway, so Robert Gates went to Pakistan first, told the president of Pakistan and the military leaders of Pakistan. Incidentally, Pakistan, ever since it was established, was always run by military and dictators. Anyway, I'm trying to be objective here because I'm from India. So the letter to Pakistan's president was very clear that if there is a war, not only America is not going to take their side, which it had all along in United Nations, and this time they said that we are going to step away and you are going to be on your own. Then Mr. Gates went to India and talked to Indian Prime Minister and military leaders in India that you have won 3 conventional wars, which is well and good, except that this war will not probably be a conventional war because Pakistan's back is against the wall. And if they have nuclear bombs, which we think they might have, they will be tempted to use it. And that was a deterrent. And India's prime minister said, okay, if they dismantle the terrorist cap, we will not invade Pakistan. So ultimately, Pakistan agreed. The dismantle process was carried out in 2 days, and terrorists were, you know, taken away in the other side of Pakistan. So that is the historical part of this book. I took some liberty and I made sure that let me add some adventures, because the team which had accompanied Robert Gates were a CIA agent, Martha, and India's agent, Sanjay, who is the so-called hero of the book. And, you know, they had their personal reasons based on their upbringing and hatred towards each other's country. So they also were part of this whole thing. So even after the crisis was solved, Indian agent and Indian agency, which is RAW, which means Research Oriented word is equivalent to CIA and Mossad was also part of it, because Mossad, the last thing Israel wanted was a so-called Muslim bomb or Islamic bomb. And they were not afraid, or they were not really in love with India as such, but they were trying to protect themselves because they knew that, considering Pakistan's internal situation, if they have a bomb, it could go in wrong hands.
Yes.
And it could be sold to Middle Eastern countries, which were sworn to destroy Israel. So what I'm making them do in the book is try to sabotage the nuclear activities in Pakistan. President Bush was not asked to authorize this, but he was aware, and the team decided to give him a chance to say that, oh, I did not know anything about it. However, it was done. So as a result, what happens in the book is that the warehouses and the site of nuclear site in Pakistan, were sabotaged, destroyed. And the only thing it did, though, and I have to be careful in saying this because everything is in the history, that what it did to Pakistan was that their program was delayed by 5-6 years. Pakistan ultimately developed bombs in 1996 and 97. And also because of this, in later on, Benazir Bhutto, who was prime minister in the book and at that time, was also assassinated later in the mid-90s. So if somebody asked me that, well, what was the product or end result of this adventure by these two characters, was that on Pakistan's side, not only they went through a humiliation, but also lost credibility among other Arab states, and their program was delayed. Now, the book deals with these two characters, and for instance, the main character, Sanjay, he's sort of a cynical person without any regards to morals or ethics or fidelity or anything, because his only goal was to punish Pakistan. And the same thing was for Pakistan's agent, Noor, very beautiful woman, and her husband had committed suicide in a prison camp in India, so she had personal reasons to punish India also. And then there was Martha Cohen, the CIA employee. She was trying to see that, even though she is an American citizen, she is Jewish, and she was trying to protect Israel's interests. So all these three characters, they're all three fictional characters, conspire what happened in the end of the so-called resolution of the crisis.
Yes. It's interesting how you develop the characters, and I want to talk about that in just a second. If you're joining us on the program, our guest is Dinkar Pujara. That's D-I-N-K-A-R. Pujara is P-U-J-A-R-A, if you're Googling. The book is 108 Earthly Desires of a Dark-Hearted Man, book available at writersrepublic.com in the bookshop. Other places, I'll send you to writersrepublic.com. Bookshop has the book available there. You can get information and order all this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The title, 108 Earthly Desires of a Dark-Hearted Man. Let's talk about the 108. What is the significance of that in the title and in the novel?
Well, 108 is a very significant number, and your audience can Google it. It has significance in almost all religions of the world. Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, and also significance of astronomy and mathematics. So if you take the face value, you know, the rosaries of Hindus which use they use for prayer has 108 beads. Same thing with Sikhism and Buddhism. And there are people, when they go to temple, they circle around statues of their Lord 108 times. But besides, 108 has other significant significance, meaning, like, for instance, the diameter of sun is 108 times the diameter of Earth. The same thing is the distance between Earth and moon. No, distance between sun and Earth is also 108 times the diameter of sun. And the distance between moon is 108 times diameter of moon. So people going back to 13th century in India had discovered the significance this way. And also, it was used by the mathematicians in India even at that time when there were no technological support or even scientific support, that they were able to discover that the speed of light was 185,940 miles per second, only a few miles different, less than what we know now.
Yes.
This was done in 13th century.
Wow.
So, you know, some of your readers probably don't know that the value, the number zero, was also discovered by India. In India, you know, in 8th century, there was no zeros, the number zero, there was nowhere else in mathematics. And so is the number infinity. And there are many mathematical things. However, the 108 desires of a dark-hearted man are not necessarily moral or good desires. And that's why I said they are desires of a dark-hearted man, meaning that the person is a human and he is not a noble citizen. And he has had this desire to be like Lord Krishna, who had 108 mistresses. And, you know, when this hero was growing up, he had stupid goal that, well, I'm going to be like Lord Krishna. But that's a different thing.
You know, it's interesting as you develop the characters. They're smart, they're witty, they're good looking, but they don't necessarily have the moral values, the ethics. They're ruthless as well. And you bring out all different aspects of each individual character. That's why this is such a fascinating read and a fascinating spy novel. The book is 108 Earthly Desires of a Dark-Hearted Man. Ask another question. Boy, time is going by so quickly. A few minutes left, but I want to talk about these characters. It's almost Sopranos-like in that the reader, you sort of have this love-hate relationship with the central character. You like them, you admire them in some sense, and then they do something and you're like, oh, geez, I can't believe they just did that. You sort of go both sides with that, don't you? Talk about developing those. It had to be fun to develop these characters because they are certainly flawed individuals.
Exactly. And, you know, if some of your audience readers were watching Sopranos, and at the last season, the last episode was kind of a secret by the creator, and there were the viewers were divided. Some people thought that, you know, his enemies will kill him and destroy him.
Yes.
And there were some viewers who had like love-hate relationship with him and wanted him to survive and continue whatever he was doing. A typical sort of, I should not use the word mafia because it's not politically correct, but that he was a gangster.
Yes.
But he was so made lovable in the show So I said, let me do this with my guy. Except that Sanjay, the hero, he never carries a gun. He has many people gotten killed, but he personally never carried a gun. He was also involved in a plot and killing of President Zia of Pakistan in 1988. And nobody found out, because in that episode, in that accident, it was a plane crash, American ambassador was also killed. So everybody put it hush hush, and as usual, Pakistan blamed India and also Mossad, and America said nothing. And but this guy, I'm making him responsible for that killing. And that brings the heroine, so-called heroine, that she had all the reasons to get back to not only India, but this guy also. So she makes him fall in love with her, which was really not love, it was only sex. But, you know, they carry on, and they're not faithful to each other. They don't have any fidelity issue. They were immoral, and they were really ruthless. So I don't know whether this guy can be compared with James Bond character or Tony Soprano's, but he's somewhere in between.
Well, yeah, at times both. I mean, that's where you go as a reader, you're like, okay, he's gone too far now. And then it's like, but I still like the guy. You know, you've done such an excellent job of developing right. These characters with flaws. It's you have to pay attention, because suddenly your mood changes as you're reading about the particular characters. A minute or so left in the program. The book we're talking about is 108 Earthly Desires of a Dark-Hearted Man, based on historical events, but it's a spy novel. It's going to hold your attention throughout. In fact, it will not allow your attention to wander. So you'll be reading more chapters at night than you planned on when you sit down to read the book. Just in wrapping up it, Dinkar Pujara is the author. That's Dinkar Pujara. I'll spell that, so if you're Googling, you'll find it. Book available at writersrepublic.com of the bookshop, the usual places as well. Dinkar, did the events in the novel, when you look back at it now, change the geopolitical situation in Southeast Asia, do you think? Did it have lasting impact?
Very much so. Because during that time, all the Arab countries, you know, whose main goal was to get rid of Israel from the map of the world, were counting on Pakistan's ability, technology, and they were indirectly supplying money and, you know, also schools throughout the world. They were hoping that Pakistan succeeds, and ultimately there even could be a so-called briefcase bomb where terrorists can carry in cities like New York and Los Angeles and London. And they were quite disappointed. And the whole incident took their program and Pakistan's program almost a decade late. Now, by that time, India was economically growing, and what you learned and your readers learned in Sunday's church school or everywhere, that India, people are starving, they don't eat beef, blah, blah, blah. It was rapidly changing. So if you look at India now, which is number six in the world economic power, after America, China, Japan, Germany, is India, before France and Britain.
Oh, yes.
And they have their own space program, and they have a very powerful defense program also, where now America likes it because they want a buffer between them and China. And so this is what all changed because of that single incident, I believe. I hope history will note it, except that I personally, you know, wanted to kind of have fun with the characters. So as I told you, that if this were to make, Hollywood makes a movie about this, it probably will get an R rating.
Well, I was just going to say, as we conclude here, this would make a great motion picture. You've got historical facts there. Many of these facts we really didn't know. It's part of history that sort of got brushed over, at least in my education. You a little bit about it, didn't focus on it. It's so fascinating to get that backstory along with these characters that that you developed in telling the story. It is a remarkable spy story, a spy that doesn't carry a gun. You've got all the elements there in the book. It's 108 Earthly Desires of a Dark-Hearted Man. Dinkar Pujara is our guest. Are you working on another book? You were a very talented writer. Are you working on something else?
I'm going to prepare a sequel to this.
Oh, good.
Because at the end of the book, the Pakistani spy, Noor, is asked to settle down in Sri Lanka and have a conspiracy where Rajiv Gandhi could be assassinated by somebody from Sri Lanka, because Sri Lanka's rebels were unhappy with Rajiv Gandhi. And actually, it did happen in 1991. But, you know, it was all projected in this book. And also, I'm going to show the origins and the results of the Persian Gulf War, President Bush's loss of election to Bill Clinton. I'm not saying that all these things brought to that, but Sanjay, the hero, had decided to be active in politics because he had personal hatred for Bush at the time. Because Mr. Bush, when he was director of the CIA, had supported Pakistan in the genocide of Hindus in that time East Pakistan, which is now Bangladesh, and more than 3 million people were slaughtered. So for him, it was personal. So yes, I'm going to write a sequel.
Looking forward to that. That is good news, because there's so much to tell and to keep the story going, and Dinkar will do that. This book is 108 Earthly Desires of a Dark-Hearted Man, published by Writers Republic. You'll find the book writersrepublic.com in the bookshop, other places as well. Link on to Writers Republic by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
I have my own website. It's dinkarpujarabooks.com.
And we have that, by the way, on, if you go to our website, you'll find that there. You can go directly to Dinkar's website and get all the information there. So we have all that on our website. The book is so well done. Dinkar, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for joining us on the program. Look forward to talking about the sequel. I can't wait to read that and to talk about it. Thank you for being with us on the show.
Thank you very much, Rick. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you had the patience to hear my bumbling and everything. And, I tried to be objective as much as I could, but it's not, you know, that simple. I found out when I wrote it.
And, well, I can imagine that. And I certainly understand that, but you did an excellent job of telling us what happened and then picking it up with the characters and the story. Again, the book, 108 Earthly Desires of a Dark-Hearted Man. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.